It's hard to get a government job unless you're a cybersecurity whiz. Then it's the government that faces tough competition for you. Federal agencies throughout the Washington area recently rolled out the red carpet for the winners of the National Collegiate Cyber Defense Competition. Shane Welch is a team member and a rising senior at the University of Central Florida.
We focus on kind of a defensive security for the competition. We set up networks, we defend networks, we deal with different changes in enterprise environments, supposed to emulate what you'd come across in your standard corporate network. And so it's a very fluid competition that you have to, you know, make things run while being attacked by a team of professional penetration testers who are at national competitions. I can tell you they're the guiding lights of this industry. They're some of the best people around. So it definitely is a stressful event, and it's something that really teaches you to have a wide base of knowledge to deal with that.
That knowledge is something the government needs more of. Last year, more cyber professionals left civilian agencies than joined them. So the prize for winning the cyber competition may be more of a gain to the government than the Central Florida students. The sponsor, Raytheon, arranges for them to meet Michael Daniel, the White House cybersecurity coordinator, visit the Pentagon and the Capitol after dark, and see the inner workings of the National Security Agency. I wasn't allowed to follow them there, but I met up with them at the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Cyber Crime Center in Fairfax, Virginia. Ian Quinn is the center's director.
We conduct investigations that are related to cyber-enabled crime, and child exploitation would be one of those cyber-enabled crimes, or other cyber-enabled crimes via the Tor, the Darknet. We've heard about the underground marketplaces that where you can buy anything from hiring a hitman to drugs to guns to different illegal pharmaceuticals and that type of stuff. So we'll provide subject matter expertise to our agents in the field to help them conduct these investigations. Our digital forensics unit may conduct certain digital exams that maybe a network related or is in a damaged hard drive. And then we have some of those capabilities here and expertise here with some of our personnel to do that here as opposed to the field.
Quinn, some of his agents and analysts take turns giving a presentation about their work before the students tour the lab, which is shiny white and clean. It feels spacious, barely touched. Quinn says the renovation was long overdue for his 50 or so employees.
It's just better facilities to support our agents in the field and training. For example, we expanded our digital forensic lab, which is a fancy word for computer forensic lab or mobile forensic lab. I think it's 7 times bigger than it was previously. We just had outgrown the previous lab, and this just gives us a much better position to bring in new technologies and have the space for our folks to work. And then the second part of the expansion really is we more than doubled our computer training room. So we previously training room was 24. If you see our new training center now, we have 52 training slots, each desk with dual monitors. We have a wall that can split down the middle, and we can hold one class of 24 and another class of 28, all with VTC capability and state-of-the-art equipment.
I could only peek through the training room's door. Undercover agents were taking a class in there. But Special Agent Jim Cole was willing to give a tour of his temporary workstation while his office downstairs gets fixed up. Cole runs a program that uses video, audio, and images to identify children who have been sexually exploited.
The whole point of our lab is to use technological advances coupled with our traditional investigative authorities and methodologies to be able to rescue and identify these victims. The technology has been huge, especially in providing us with the ability to really deeply analyze and look into image, video, and audio. Ultimately, it's boots on the ground investigators in the field that end up solving these cases. We just push the information to them, but oftentimes we're able to derive enough information using the technology that then gets them physically to a person, a door, whatever it is that leads to breaking the case.
He's got a computer monitor that looks like a TV and several others that are smaller. I recognize the program he has up on one screen. It's Adobe Audition, the same audio editing software I use to assemble stories like this one. But Cole's grasp of the technology far exceeds mine. His screen shows an infrared display of sound waves.
So with Audition, we can clarify noises. We have video of child exploitation that's submitted here to the lab. We can, and we're trying to identify, again, the victims or the offenders. We can clarify noises, isolate noises for analysis. In one case, we had birds that were chirping outside of a bedroom window, and so we were able to isolate out those birds chirping, which Cornell University Ornithology Department calls avian vocalizations. I call bird chirping. But we sent that to them, and they were able to identify the genus and species of bird, which helps us, potentially helps us with seeing what the bird's migration habits are in different times of the year, and helps us narrow down regions where that abuse was occurring.
Cole, like most of the computer forensics agents here, didn't start off as a cyber expert when he entered law enforcement 22 years ago. A few years back, he was investigating a big case with another agency. He picked up on how they were using video to identify evidence and brought those skills back here.
Pretty standard Photoshop here, but we've got sophisticated interactive monitors that allow us to actually interact with the material directly with a pen tool. And so be very precise with when we're, you know, I mean, there's a lot of different things that we do. Every case is a little bit different. Like in one case, we needed to tie it to U.S. jurisdiction so that we could get a search warrant, a federal search warrant. And so we had an unidentified object that was in a corner. It was very difficult to figure out what it was. But go in, isolate that object, pull it out, and we were able to identify it as a specific brand of pretzel that we contacted the company and learned that it was the branding that we had, the packaging was U.S. distribution only. So that basically gave us articulable probable cause that more likely than not, that series was produced within the United States. And in that case, we ended up going to the public with an offender's face. And a room that we could see, and that led to the offender's identification and several victims being identified from that case.
Cyber specialists like Cole have more work than they can handle. After years of lean budgets, ICE is hiring big time. Center Director Ian Quinn says the agency will bring on board hundreds of new agents this year and next. He'd like to see candidates with cyber skills, just like those students from Central Florida. The problem is, he's got competition. Team co-captain Jason Cooper graduated from school in May. He's already got a job.
It is not with government. I did accept an offer several months ago, and I'm working in the private sector currently with Amazon.
Did you ever consider a government job?
I have. It's just a matter of it's a time issue in being offered things, and it's a difficult decision, and really it's, yeah, I don't know what to say.
What would make a government career more appealing to you?
Well, I think one of the challenges, at least at University of Central Florida, we don't get much exposure to the government and different opportunities for us. We know they're there. We see things in the media or hear things in the media. We see things on TV. But that's not usually the case. There's a lot more to it, and that's what we're learning on this trip. So I think getting more exposure to the opportunities available for us would get us into that field.
But it doesn't sound like he's going to consider a switch anytime soon. He says his first few months at Amazon have been great. Another team member, Kevin DiClemente, is graduating from school in a couple of weeks. He, too, has work lined up. He's going to Seattle to join Microsoft.
It comes down a little bit to who gets to you first, and the opportunities are continually changing, and we haven't always been aware of them. We become more aware of them when we do tours like the one Raytheon's provided for us, but it really like opens our eyes to the mission of the government. It's not something we're fully exposed to in school.
Yes, it's very hard to compete with the Googles and Facebooks and Microsofts, and they're all great organizations and attract the top talent.
Quinn recognizes the problem government faces, but he says the more opportunities students have to learn about government work, the more likely they are to enter it.
The biggest surprise that I find when I talk to students is they didn't even know that ICE Homeland Security Investigations had this breadth and depth of investigative portfolio that we do. And when they do, they get excited. So, and I think whether it's HSI or the FBI or Secret Service, there's certainly a need in the cyber field. And for us in law enforcement to get these kids that are in the cyber, that are studying cyber in college, to get them excited about the possibility of becoming a special agent with Homeland Security Investigations is part of my job, to get them excited. And usually it's a pretty easy sell, because the one thing that we have over the private sector, I believe, is mission. I mean, what a greater job than protect your country and protect the citizens of this country against cybercrime and all kinds of other immigration and customs-related crimes that we investigate here in HSI.
At least one of these team members is listening closely. Shane Welch, the rising senior, says he could go work for a company and earn a lot more money than he would make in the government.
I have several potentials with different companies and some inside with the government. I'm definitely looking at government service from kind of one of those higher reasons. Seems to be an intensely rewarding career path. You get to make pretty major differences in the world with, just here at ICE, they're doing things that are helping a lot of different people, from children to adults, and it's a major thing that, at least for someone like me, that would be an intensely rewarding career. So that's the thing that drives me.
For now, Welch says he's keeping his options open.